engagement day, I bought the miles I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jaw. And the owls don't know. The pull of God can only yield to those out working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow until from all there is to know. The bud is young, the stem is weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just won't go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Fireside Chat with David James. You got it. I've been thinking again. This time, I've been thinking about childhood cartoons. And I think that you're going to be surprised at what is going to be revealed to you. It is interesting. Now, the first thing I'm going to talk about with these childhood cartoons are mice. Mises, that's another one, Jinxie, right? Yes, there was a lot of them. You know, when you look at Mighty Mouse, or you look at Mickey Mouse, if you would go take a look, just put Mickey Mouse in Google and go take a look at the images. Here's some observations about Mickey Mouse, and it's something that I've been studying for a while. It's known as Dracula hair. The Jews often have Dracula hair. You know, the point coming down. When you look at Dracula, or you look at Count Chocula, or any of these, I was looking at the Count from Sesame Street. And surprisingly enough, the Count not only has the pyramid eyebrows, but he has all the attributes. The real long nose. you know, the pointed, just like Mickey Mouse. Go look at Mickey Mouse. Now, when I see many men in these old black and white shows, you will notice this implied thing that Mickey Mouse has. It's a receding hairline with a Dracula, you know, widow's peak that comes to a peak right in the center of the head. Now, I know you could say, well, those are his eyes, but they're really not. That's really his hairline. And when we did the study on the Disney family, we found out at that point that Walt Disney was told by the people that were drawing the cartoons that Mickey Mouse was him. Interestingly enough, why do I talk about these mice? Why would we mention it? Well, you're going to be surprised at what I'm going to tell you. I want to first reiterate that I've mentioned this many times in the German documentary movie, which they would call propaganda, but it's not. They talked about how mice and rats migrated with these Jews when they came from the area in Asia there. And they got all the way to our countries with these Jews. Because the rat is just like the Jew. It talked about this in the movie, how these two kinds of, they're familiars. I would say that the rats are the Jews' familiars. And why I say that is because that's what the Germans were saying in the movie, that the rats destroy man's goods. They destroy, they're very destructive. They bring diseases. They eat into our food and destroy it and poison it, and so on and so forth. And you know, they get into people's houses and they get into businesses and they, you know, it's a general bad thing, just like Jews. And they have so much in common. Everybody even calls the Jews rat-faced Jews. They look like rats. They really do. And rats just seem to have long noses. It's just the way it is. And they're very slimy like Jews are. And, you know, this may be shocking talk to you, but it really is reality. You see, the Jews know that the rats are their kin, so to speak. And when you look in these cartoons, I'm going to point out something to you. Whether it's Catnip, Tom from Tom and Jerry, any of these cats, you know that cats are beautiful creatures, and they look perfect in every way. But in all of these cartoons, whether it's Sylvester or, you know, Jinxie or whatever, they all have these speech impediments and all kinds of weird things. Or they're very stupid, as in Catnip, right? And the mice always win. I know that the gears in your head are turning now. Why would I mention such a thing? I'll tell you why. Because mice are really not smart at all, not compared to cats. And in the cartoons, there's something that goes against reality. The cats always seem to lose, and the mice always seem to win. And you have to say to yourself, well, why would that be? That's against reality. It's not. It's a non-reality that the Jews have put forth in these cartoons. You see, they represent the mice in these cartoons, and they believe that they're a lot smarter than you are. And the cats represent us, or Elmer Fudd represents us. I know that he's not chasing a cat, but you notice how stupid he is and how he's a hunter. You see, this is against guns again. You know what I mean? Like, oh, the great hunter that goes out and hunts the poor little rabbit, but the rabbit always outsmarts him again. Interesting, you know, I understand you're probably saying, yeah, but it's just a cartoon. Well, is it really? This is for children, right? And everything is done in the guise of humor by these Jews. See, everything makes it okay to do all this because it's done in the guise of humor. Humor is a trap. Humor is a mockery. And this is a lot of mockery. When it comes to reality, the mouse loses almost every single time. You know, I'm sure there's some mice that get away. It's not because they're smart, it's because they're quick. And there's a bit of luck to it too, right? But you see, when you really look at these things, who is Mickey Mouse? Number one, here's some observations that I should tell you. He's wearing red. And almost every time you see Mickey Mouse, he's wearing red. Whether it's a magician's robe or a soldier's outfit or anything else, he's wearing red. I can see pictures here where he's wearing a red bow tie, red robes, red soldier's outfits, red party outfits, red Christmas outfits, wearing a red shirt. What do we know about red? Red pants, red shorts. What do we know about red? Well, we'll leave that there. We know that the Jews are reds. But let's... You also have the Freemasonic colors of black, white, and red. And he eventually turns pink at some point. Mickey Mouse does. But what do we know about Mickey Mouse? When you look in the kingdoms of old, right, you would see the old movies and you'd see this king, and he would always have this fellow. I've mentioned this before a long time ago. There'd always be this fellow who would be the king's seer or whatever, the king's magician. He would have a pointed hat with stars and crescents on them, right? There's your Islam, right? Your Hubal and the mother of us all, the moon. And he was the magician. Well, this is what Mickey Mouse is. The Jew, that was your Jew in the kingdom. That was your Jew getting himself close to the king so that he could advise the king in certain things. Well, we know that these Jews, whether they're Pharisees or whether they're doing the Kabbalah or whatever it is, they're into black magic. And Mickey Mouse is teaching your children black magic because Mickey Mouse is a magician. All you have to do is go and look in the pictures. You'll see it. He's not always a magician, but he's a magician quite a bit. And it's very interesting that it would be a mouse. You see, I don't think, you know, the reason why I'm doing this is because I don't think anybody realizes why there are so many mice in cartoons. So many skilled mice in cartoons. You see what I mean? So when you look at Sylvester and he's chasing cats, I mean, chasing mice, the mice always eventually outsmart him. I happen to have some Looney Tunes that I'd bought years ago. And I had just watched one of these. And what had happened was, Sylvester had chased all the mice out of the house and there were no mice and he was just laying around all the time. So the dad in the house said, it's time to get rid of him. There's no mice here. There's nothing to do. So he goes out and finds himself a mouse and he makes this mouse his slave. And he threatens to kill him if he doesn't make him look good. Eventually, the mouse realizes who really needs who and turns it around on Sylvester. and makes Sylvester obey him. Now, these are things in cartoons that you may just say, well, this is just a simple cartoon. Is it really? Is it really just a simple cartoon? Wait till you see the Count from Sesame Street. It's going to surprise you. You see, everything's right in front of your eyes and always has been. Mighty Mouse, again, has a widow's peak. He's also wearing yellow with red shoes and a red cape and red underwear. Here I come to save the day. He's got the situation well in hand. There was another mouse with Klondike Cat that used to say, "Savoir-faire is everywhere." And I looked, I've been trying to find out what that meant years ago. And then, I went to Google Translate, and what it means is to know how to do. So to know how to do, or to learn, or to know is everywhere. Savoir-faire is everywhere. It's just interesting because these things are against reality. Even birds, Heckel and Jekyll, they're always beating the cat. You know what I mean? The cat's always the stupid one, and the cat represents you and I. I believe that, really. So it's a chuckle to the Jew to know that his kin is outsmarting us, but it's not reality, you see. It's only fantasy. But in real life, they also believe that they're outsmarting us. And they are outsmarting us in several ways, but they're not smarter than we are. They're cunning. You see, the Jew wishes he was German, wishes he was the top of the white race. But the Jew can't be that. So he likes to pretend he is. It's very interesting how jealous the Jew is of the German. But you see, the Jew is a cheap imitation of a white man or a German. And the Jew does not compare with us in any form or fashion. Any form or fashion that's worthy, I mean. Oh, in crime, they compare well. In subtlety and deception, they compare very well. They outdo us in those types of things. Naturally. It's natural to them. And so, were they trying to tell us, like the underdog and sweet Polly Purebred, right? So is that implying, underdog is the queer Wally Cox, the queer Jew in that cartoon? And he takes a pill to become the superhero underdog. You see, again, the underdog. Just like the rat or the mouse is the underdog to the cat. And yet they've turned it around and make the cat look like they're idiots. And the mice win every single time. Is that telling you something as a child, subliminally? I mean, it is possible, isn't it? I mean, I don't know what is going through your mind at this moment, but I've thought about this, and I've thought, really interesting how this all is, because the cartoons were done by Warner Brothers and Jews doing all the voicings and everything else, and They were excellent cartoons. Of course, violence was in these cartoons, too. Because nothing is exciting without violence to the Jew. Chaos in every cartoon. Right? It's just like everything you've seen with these Jewish productions. I don't care if it's a Star Wars movie or whatever it is. There can't be peace for long in a Jewish production. And it's the same in these cartoons. There couldn't be peace at all. If the cat was enjoying himself sleeping, the mouse was trying to raid the refrigerator and cause havoc. You see? To steal. To poison. To destroy. To invade. To inhabit. One fellow told me years ago, and I've mentioned this before, he said, you know, we all have to go to work. But these Jews, they have all day and all night. And he called them rats. In the sense of, he said, but mice and rats have all day and all night to figure out how to stay in your house. You know, I knew what he meant. He didn't say Jews, but he put it as mice and rats. He knows, this fella knew too. It's amazing. People know. How many times have you heard the term rat-faced Jew? When you look at these Jews, their ears, everything, they look like rats. They look like mice or rats. And they have the same properties. You see, if the rat comes to destroy man's, and that means the white races, because Jews aren't men, and rats aren't men, of course. So they come and they destroy our hard work. We put up food in warehouses, they destroy it. They get in our houses. You know, it's the same thing. Jews get in our houses through the one-eyed television, Talmud vision. They get in our houses by women's magazines. They get in our houses by influencing our women to be unhappy with us, and so on and so forth. I mean, these Jews are poison. They're absolute poison, like rats are. And they've got nothing to do all day and all night. Oh, there's some of them that work because, you see, they have to have some of them in the workplace so they can monitor what you're doing. They have to have somebody going to every meeting, every kind of meeting that there is, so that they can monitor what we're doing. They're in all the intelligence services because they have to know what we're doing. And they wouldn't want to have the intelligence services doing intelligence on them. Another interesting thing. What do you call somebody that turns somebody in? You call them a rat. What do you call somebody that testifies against somebody? You call them, they finked on him, they ratted on him. You see? This is the Jew. This is the Jewish way. So, I wonder what you're thinking about this. I wonder what's going through your mind on this. What is the purpose of showing us non-realities in this world? In other words, oh yes, it's all fun and games, but it's not reality. So, it's almost teaching you to believe in non-realities. And this is what I've talked about many times, about contrived realities. See, that goes against nature for the mouse to win over the cat. It wasn't meant to be that way. Another thing that's interesting about the mouse or the mice in these things is they'll find a way to turn, you know, get a dog to chase the cat to do, you know, to get rid of the cat. And it's the same thing as I was talking about in Rome, how the Jews would try to accuse the Christians and work up the Roman government and the Roman citizenry until they attack the Christians, using government against the people, like they do here in America, like they do in all of our countries at this point. This is a pattern of the Jews. This is something that they do. They are accusers of the brethren. They are accusers of the heavenly host. They accuse our Father. They accuse his sons and daughters. And they get his other sons and daughters to come after him, after his own, their own kin, as what happened in Germany. But like I said, the Jew is a cheap imitation of the white man, of a real man. The Jew is not a real man. He's a cheap imitation. His woman is a cheap imitation of a real woman. You see? And they don't measure up. And they can never measure up. And this is one of the things that I had realized in why they love to act in these films and act everywhere, you know, in these productions, because they get to play like they're really a man or really a white man. Because they have this deep need, like all races, they want to, all of them want to be white. You see, they might say that we're white supremacists, but they know that they want to be us. All of them. And you must know that's true. I can see it as plain as day. Their women, the Jews' women, even Negroid women, will color their hair blonde. They all want to look like our women. They all want to be like our women. Their men are pathetic examples of what a man is. A Jewish man is a pathetic example of a man. You know that. And it's easy to see that all the Jewish women, they do all they can to try to look like our women, and they get away with it a lot of times. But eventually the cheap imitation shows through. You know what I mean? Like, some people can be fooled with zirconium or whatever that is, right? And think it's a real diamond. But sooner or later, the jig is up, and that's it. You know, this stuff that I think about, I wonder if it would have ever crossed your mind. I mean, I don't even know why it crossed my mind, except that I realize these things because, you know, one thing tips you off to the next. And the next thing tips you off to the next. You see, all these realities that they want you to go against nature. You know that these transsexuals that they're trying to force into being transsexuals, these children, many of them are turning and saying, I don't want to do this. They're turning back and saying this. They know it's not right. It's like they're forcing this reality into, I mean, forcing this non-reality into a reality. It's the same as any contrived reality, this tattoo thing, or women talking, you know, they destroyed women back in the 40s and destroyed the family. They began those types of things where women would talk back to the men and treat and belittle them and all kinds of things on film. And when people saw this on film, they figured, this is reality. But see, this is just Herman and Catnip again. This is just Sylvester and mice. I know Sylvester's usually with Tweety, right? And even Tweety outsmarts him. Right? Because the evil white man, the cat, is trying to eat the mouse. Or the evil white man, the cat, wants to eat the bird, Tweety Bird. Little, poor little Tweety Bird. The underdog. The victim. The minority. Are we ringing the bells now? Ding, ding, ding. Are we ringing? You said, I heard a bell ring. This isn't midweek news. No, it's not. But it's the midweek of the show. I mean, it's the middle of the show. You know, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you. Yeah, you got Tom and Jerry. You remember that? Tom and Jerry. Tomcat, right? And isn't that what they would call a Negro if he was kind of like somebody that liked the white people? They'd call him an Uncle Tom. Is that the right term? Yeah. The violence that was taught us in these cartoons is amazing. And it goes on. There's Danger Mouse. I never really watched Danger Mouse, but, you know, there's all kinds of these particular things. But it's very interesting to me that the world shows you, you know Salvini from Italy? Now, I can't imagine anyone listening to my shows, I have a rather, I don't think it's that big of an audience at all. But Salvini had a very pointy hairdo. And I have pictures of him with this very pointy hairdo. The Dracula hair, I call it. Drac hair. And all of a sudden, he doesn't have it anymore. He's removed it. You see, that's the thing that you can do with... I talked about this before. You see, if you have this widow's peak, which I see all over the place, you can remove it with a razor. And if you have pointy eyebrows, which I believe a lot of these women did back then, so they figured, well, to try to look more white because they looked weird, they would shave their eyebrows out and draw them in, thus disguising themselves. You see? It's funny that these things are shown to you all the time, and yet you don't realize. If you go look at these different cartoon things, or go look at vampires or whatever, they're always going to be the same thing. You're always going to see the attributes I'm telling you about, because they know they have these attributes. And, you know, you just get used to seeing these things and you don't alert on them anymore. That's what I talked about with the same German film, The Eternal Jew, which I recommend you see this several times. They showed you Jews as they were, and then they showed you as they clean themselves up to disguise themselves to look like European white people. And it was downright scary, ladies and gentlemen. It was downright scary. Let me tell you, there's this series, and it doesn't matter what series it is. If you're watching Bonanza, Little Joe is a Jew. The dad, Lorne Greene, is a Jew. Adam is a half-breed. He's part African-American. The only one that's white, as far as I know, is Hoss. And when you look at all these different shows, it doesn't matter. I'm viewing this show at this point called Naked City, The Naked City. And if you wanted to do a study in Jewry, just view that series. You would not believe the creatures that are in this series. And I mean, there's a fellow named McMahon who he comes in about halfway through the series, and he supposedly he's whatever, Irish or whatever, but he's got that pointed hair and it looks like Mickey Mouse. If you see him in certain poses, you'll see the exact hairline of Mickey Mouse. But I can't prove he's a Jew, but something's going on. And his nose is as long as you could imagine, and his skull shape is anything but Anglo-Saxon. Let me tell you something. That's one of the things, you know, when you have long hair in the 60s, you could hide your skull shape. Women who have long hair can hide their skull shapes, you see? And this is all to do with disguise. Sunglasses can hide your eyebrows and hide your eyes. And the eyes are the light of the soul. But many of the Jews that I see, if you've ever looked at Dianne Feinstein, there is no soul in there. If you've ever looked at almost, I mean, so many of the Jews that I've seen, they're dead-eyed. There's nobody in there. But if you were to do a study on skull shapes and you knew what the Anglo-Saxon skull shape looks like, it's oblong. And if you saw what, if you could see this Naked City show and see the skull shapes in this show, you would be astounded. This is a thing that's changed for me in life, is when I go into a room, what do you think I'm looking at? Now, yes, you know, many of the criminals I see that are doing killings have some of these attributes. Another thing about killings is, I remember several years back, the blacks would say, all the serial killers are white. But you see, almost every one of those so-called white serial killers are Jews. And there are now more black serial killers than Jew serial killers. But they're all of the same anyway. They're the seed line of Cain, as far as I'm concerned. I believe that the blacks were mixed with Cain. There's very few white serial killers. It's astounding to see all these things. Once you're in tune with these attributes, I'm not going to say that there isn't any white man that has a widow's peak or anything like that, but these seem to be Jewish attributes, though very wide mouth. The pointy eyebrows, the Dracula hair, the ears that are turned They're not up and down straight. They're turned to 2 o'clock or something like that. Or they're really low on the head. There's all kinds of things to study. And these things are shown to you all the time, and you don't realize it. So what I was saying is, about the German film, is by having Jews in television and movies all this time, all the way through, they've gotten you so used to seeing Jews, and now they're doing it with Negroes, that you don't alert on it anymore. If you were to look, I'm going to give you a little something to look at. You know Grandpa Munster? His name is Al Lewis. And I'm going to tell you that you got to check his skull shape out, number one. But I'm going to tell you something else about him. This is the freaky... He's a Jew. This is the freakiest looking so-called human being that I've ever seen in my life. In other words, he even looks like a vampire, like Grandpa Munster. It's almost like he didn't even need any kind of makeup. This is one of the freakiest people you will ever... This is right out of a horror film. And of course, it's done in the guise of humor. Notice that show, too. You've got Herman Munster. He's a Jew. And I think Lily is, too. I know it's DiCarlo, but you know what that means, right? Yeah. You got to get a load of the Count from Sesame Street. You've seen it so many times. And he's got what looks like a Crowleyan. We just found out that Aleister Crowley was of Jewish heritage. And he's got this pyramid, this green pyramid, which represents his part of his robe. What did I tell you about the color green? He's got pointy ears, pointy eyebrows, those eyes that go down that aren't natural-looking eyes, and his hair comes to a point. You see? You got to check it out. So, it seems that they want to... You know, they love to play white men as characters. Now, let me give you a couple of examples of lately. One of the ones from The Naked City, there was this young fellow, and of course he was German, and he was as crazy as could be. And he was into little soldiers and so on and so forth. You know, he's military-minded because all Germans are war machines, aren't they? And they're all crazy too, aren't we? And his name was Gottlieb, which is a Jew name that they stole. Do you know what Gottlieb means? God love. It's a German name. But Jews use this name. It means God love. And this guy was crazy. He was killing people. Viciously killing people. Deceiving people. I saw another one from Alfred Hitchcock Presents, where this guy was quoting scriptures, but he was killing people, batting their heads in with a shovel and this and that. You see, that's a contrived reality. That's a non-reality. That's the same thing as the cat losing to the mouse all the time. You see, the Jew, and of course, all of Alfred Hitchcock's productions are Jew-run. I'm not going to say Alfred Hitchcock is a Jew, but I know that Hitchcock is one of these families in England that are known to be of the Illuminati, so to speak. And Alfred Hitchcock is a dirty fellow when you realize that it's all done in humor. So he's a likable fellow, but when you start to get a hold of some of the things that he's adhering to and writing and so on and so forth, you start to realize. And he has to bow to his Jewish masters and do these things that he does. You know, like showing the Christian in this type of a light. This Christian was saying, I mean, he would just quote, it is written this and that, and, you know, he would quote scriptures. But he was as crazy as could be and wanted to kill and was killing people. And of course, he was white, of course, I'm sure. I don't know if he really is white, because I'm telling you the honest truth. What I've discovered is it doesn't matter if it's shows today or shows yesterday or movies. You're seeing very few white people. The white people that I saw in one episode recently of The Naked City, I had never seen this show before. See, after I'm done working for the day, I might watch one or two episodes at night, late at night, before I go to bed. That's what I'm doing right now anyway. I'm just watching this series because I'm doing a study on phrenology while I'm watching it. And of course, it's based in New York. But I mean, it is amazing, the hook-nosed characters and all kinds of things. I'm going to give you my honest opinion. I saw this episode, and the only white people I saw in the episode were these bums from the street. I looked at their skull shapes, and their skull shapes looked like Anglo-Saxon skull shapes. The rest of the people in the show are Jew, 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 Jew. And that's the way all shows are. See, because this is where they get to play like they're really white men. And they get to make white men look evil. Because the Jewish mind is a very sick mind. You can see that in the cartoons I'm talking about. The Jewish mind, you wouldn't believe some of the... See, I call them the scribes of the Kehillah. Because to be a scribe, you are a writer, whether it's a newspaper or in Hollywood or a script or whatever. You're a scribe of the Kehillah. Now, I suppose I'll bring up one more cartoon that I've talked about before, and I want you to think about this for a minute. Charles Schulz is a Jew. The cartoon, and I love the cartoon Peanuts with Charlie Brown. I want you to notice that here's the precursor to the homosexuality and all the different things that have come along on us gradually like this. Charlie Brown was presented as a boy who has very many insecurities. He's not sure of himself. He's afraid to talk to a little red-headed girl that he seems to have an affection and love for. He's too stupid to... Even though Charles goes to spelling bees and he's got brains, He's too stupid, and he gets tricked by Lucy all the time to kick the football. You'd think he would have learned after the first or second time. Now, Brown is a Jewish name in many cases. Is Charlie Brown Jewish? I really don't know. Do you see that he's wearing a yellow shirt with black lightning going around it? Kind of. It looks like lightning. Maybe he is a Jew. Because Jews are the ones with these insecurities, not white people. They're trying to contrive that reality. And then you see Linus, who is his friend, and he's sucking his thumb, and he's got a security blanket. Linus can't do anything without, or go anywhere without his security blanket, because he's very insecure. And then you have Pigpen, who is a smelly Negro, and they don't say anything about that. I think that's funny. But then you have Peppermint Patty and Lucy. And Lucy is much smarter than all of them. She likes to think she's a lady, but she's not very ladylike when it really comes down to it. She's very crass, very ignorant, very like a Jewess. But they propose that she's the most intelligent, just like Lisa from The Simpsons. Lisa is the most intelligent in the family, because that's the Jewish brainwash that they're trying to shove down your throat. Peppermint Patty is a tomboy. In other words, she's a lesbian. She has a friend named Marcy who she, you know, pushes around and this and that. I assume Marcy is supposed to be her girlfriend. And she's the boy. Now, what makes this all okay is Snoopy the dog. You see, this is all done in the guise of humor. It's cute. But you see, it's telling children that it's very possible they may have a lot of mental problems. It's telling children that women are smarter than men. It's telling children that it's okay to be a tomboy. It's just you're just another person in the community. And it's okay for Lucy to be an ignorant, loudmouth, unladylike jerk, is really what it comes down to. In the 40s, American women began to be loud and crass like that. Of course, they were probably Jewesses, but I'm just saying. See, they destroyed the image of the woman. The woman, our women, were soft. And they were, I mean, they could take care of business and they could be hard if they had to and when they had to. But generally, they were happy to be with their man. And they never disrespected their man like they've been taught to now. All of this comes from the Jewish mindset. I'm telling you that these Jews are very ill in the mind. And many of them that are scribes for the Kehillah are put there deliberately because they're ill in the mind. If you just think about some of the things that you've seen from Talmud Vision or Hollywood, you must realize the sickness in the Jewish mind. See, most people don't know. When I was younger, I had no idea about Jews. I had Jewish friends. I didn't even know they were Jews. But I know now. I did have one Jewish friend when I was really young. And I didn't know what that meant. I went to his bar mitzvah. And his mother asked me what my heritage was. And when I told her, she got rid of me very quickly. And I no longer was friends with him. But that's okay. But I'm just saying, it dawned on me at that point that was interesting. That as soon as I told her, of course, that I was white and that I was Anglo-Saxon and all that, goodbye. Which was for the best anyway. But it's very interesting to see all of this and to understand. See, one of the things that happens to you, ladies and gentlemen, is once you become savvy and you understand, you get to decipher your past. And you get to say, now I understand what that meant. Now I understand who this person was. Why they did the things they did. And let me tell you, with the Jew, it's always in the guise of humor. Humor, like Snoopy. Snoopy makes it okay because Snoopy is just a happy-go-lucky dog, and he neutralizes all the other things that go on there. You see, he glues it all together and everything's okay because Snoopy's there. It's okay that Charlie Brown has mental problems or is implied that he does, or that Linus needs a blanket and has to suck his thumb. It's okay if Lucy is an ignorant jerk and pretends she's ladylike when she's not. She's very evil. And it's okay that Peppermint Patty is a boy when she's a girl. You see, this is all presented to you in the guise of humor. When they did Blazing Saddles and destroyed the cowboy genre, because it was all about guns and white men, even though it was all Jews playing it, practically. Not all, but Jews and Freemasons. And Spinal Tap was another one. And there's a lot of Jewish rock stars, but you see, it got a little too big, so they had to destroy that too. And they did it with Spinal Tap, just like I had done the... If you were to look at Blazing Saddles, it's violently anti-white. It's an anti-white film done in the guise of humor. Extremely white. Anti-white. You see, the Jews are jealous because they can't be us. But they can in Hollywood. And they can in their pretenses in all ways. They believe they are. They wish they could be, but they aren't, and they can't. But all the world's a stage, and they are merely just players, playing like they're white, playing like they're righteous, playing like they care about human life, about mankind, playing like they care about the other races, etc., etc., etc. To the Jew, all the world is a stage. And they are merely players. Well, I hope you enjoy this talk. This is the first Fireside Chat of the year. And I hope you learned something. And I hope this compels you to think. And I hope this will help you to decipher your past. You don't need any psychiatrists to do that. You can do it yourself. Psychiatry is a fake, fraud, medical subdivision. May Yahweh bless you. May He encourage you to read His word more. May you learn and may you turn to Him in all things. May you remember Him in the good times and the bad. And ladies and gentlemen, the best advice I could give you is may you thank Him in the good times and the bad. Thank Him. Thank Him always. Until next time. Good night.
The edge of day, engaged in play, I walk the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The pull of God, it only yields to those out working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow, until from all there is to know. The bud is young, the stem is sweet, the fool is left only to see. The crazy of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just won't.